time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this.
The American people, I think, is good people. They have not to charge with the guilty of all the lies.
Welcome back to the Cold War, episode 178. I don't want to be here today. How are you, Raimondo?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm fine. I'm fantastic. And I guess, as usual, I'll just carry the fucking show, shall I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All
as right. usual. How was your Thanksgiving? We're recording this a few days later than we normally would because you had apparently something to give thanks for.
Yeah. What was that? Anyway, I can't remember, but I enjoyed the food. So I give thanks for the... Oh, that's right, killing the Indians. Sorry, it came back to me now. Mm. We killed the Indians and took their land. Mm. No, it was a very humble affair with just myself, the missus, the two legitimate children. And we just spent the day together, relaxed and eating food and getting stuffed and, you know, just chilled. It was pretty nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah. You could have, you know... done some work instead, actually contributed to the world instead of just stuffing your face.
That didn't occur to me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Typical American attitude.
Don't we just, can't we just outsource that now? Isn't there an app?
Fuck the world.
Right.
I'm just going to eat. Well, my big news is that Marketing the Messiah is now on Amazon Prime.
I saw that.
So the folks out there that haven't seen it yet, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can watch it for free.
And you should.
On Amazon Prime in most jurisdictions. Some people have told me it's not in Spain, it's not in France, it's not in Brazil.
Right.
But
it's pronounced, but
it is in
the
countries that really matter. Let's put it that way.
You're a marketing guy, right?
The white English-speaking countries.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we don't have what do you call it? Subtitles or foreign language versions. So that's probably why it's not on those services. But that's exciting. Hopefully, a few more people will see the film now, and I'm sure it's only a matter of hours now before people start knocking on my door offering me large suitcases full of cash in order to make more movies. So we'll see.
Not unlike what the CIA will do, but we will get to that later. Large suitcases full of cash.
True story. A couple of guys in overalls knocked on our front door yesterday and they go, oh, yeah, we're here to replace all of your smoke alarms with new modern smoke alarms.
Hell
and I swear to God.
Hell yeah.
These smoke alarms look like security cameras.
Don't get naked
I'm
in front of them.
I'm pretty sure.
Right?
Pretty sure the CIA knows we're doing this series.
Surprised
and they
took
send
them
some guys around.
Yeah,
to bug the house.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start on the show now that seeing as you're running things today, Ray, where do you want to start?
Let's just start with an observation. In my intense prep for these two shows, I have clutched my pearls more in the last 2 days than I have done my entire life.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
For your nuts? No.
Sure. I mean, yeah, let's go with that, but I clutch them gently. But, I mean, we are going to go into people that just are fucking cowboys. They ignore the law. There is no law. They lie to their superiors. They steal money. And these are the good guys trying to stop the bad guy. I mean, there's just so much rampant lawlessness in the creation of the CIA and what they do in the first couple of years. It is staggering. I had no idea, but now I do.
It just gave me an idea for a song.
Oh, okay, good.
good.
I'm a song generator. Oh, what is that?
I was scared to death, afraid to close my eyes and find that I was gone.
That's
like every other one who left before the dawn, I vanished in the air. Am I still there? Wait. Clutch me gently if you can. Clutch me gently. Just hold my hand.
Hold my testicles.
Clutch me gently. Pull my sleeve.
Not my pubes.
Cause where I'm at is where. That doesn't sound right. I wanna leave. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Alice Cooper song, Wake Me Gently, 1977.
I thought it was.
Well, the song I was going to play for you today that I've been practicing is.
No, is that ABBA? sounds like ABBA. The early years.
early ABBA. If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win some, you lose some. What you say, I don't share your greed. The only kind I need is the ace of spades. Ace of spades.
Yeah. Nice.
I was thinking of that song this week because I thought, you know.
Yeah.
The CIA is really America's ace of spades. That's
right.
That's the card they've been playing. Just to
they can fix everything.
Fuck the world up for the last 70 years. Yeah. Well,
as we're going to find out, because the last time we left off with Frank Wisner, just one of the many, and I don't really hesitate to use this word, fanatics, whether it's an anti-communist fanatic or whether it's a religious fanatic or whatever. But we're going to run across a bunch of men who are dedicated to an idea that I think they think doesn't limit them as far as what the law is, what their bosses tell them what to do. I mean, it's like they're on a crusade and they know what's best. And these people can get together. They have very influential friends and they're going to make some incredible things happen that probably should have never happened in the first place. But we'll see that as we go along.
So in February 1947, the British ambassador to the US, Sir Archibald Clark Kerr.
Good name.
Who was in fact an Aussie. We've mentioned him before.
Yes.
Warned the acting Secretary of State in the US, Dean Acheson, that England's military and economic aid to Greece and Turkey would run out in 6 weeks.
Yeah, ain't got it.
We've mentioned this. We've mentioned this on earlier episodes, but it's worth going over again because it's central to this whole period. The Greeks, they figured, would need something on the order of $1 billion over the next 4 years to, and I'm doing this in air quotes, fight the threat of communism. And by threat of communism, what he meant was Greeks who were sick and tired of being fucked over by the royalty and capitalists and who wanted a little bit more say over how the money was divided up in Greek. But for the purposes of this show, we will call that threat of communism. People wanting to take control of their own country is the threat of communism. Just get that on a T-shirt. Just remember that. Threat of communism translates as, you know, people self-determining how they want to run their country. Threat of communism.
Got that. And to add on to that, Walter Beadle Smith, who, again, we said last, Beadle Smith, who's in Moscow, he also sends a message to Washington saying, you know what, I got to be honest with you. From what I can remember, what I know, what I've been told, it's the British troops who are the only thing stopping the evil Soviets from taking Greece. And so if they're going to leave, somebody's got to do something. And when I say somebody, I mean the great United States of America. Everybody's weighing in on this. Yeah.
And by falling into the Soviet orbit,
right,
he obviously meant choosing their own path, but one that doesn't align with Western economic interests.
That sounds right. So,
yeah, I'm just translating this for you here.
Oh, thank you.
They're falling into... Honest to God, like, yeah. When I read these, I read books, and I think, you know, even Tim Weiner's book on the legacy of ashes, just use these sorts of phrases, right? Threat of communism,
right,
falling into the Soviet orbit.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. They're just these stock phrases that get pulled out, even in the more credible Cold War era books, when they're written by American or other Western authors. But it's important to stop and think about what actually is meant by that.
Right.
Again, like the communist parties in Greece, in Turkey, in Czechoslovakia, were run by Greeks, Turks, and Czechs.
Local boys.
They were.
Yeah.
They were local boys and girls.
And girls.
That wanted communism for their country. Yes, they may have had varying levels of economic support and strategic support from the Soviet Union, from right. Stalin and the Politburo, but these are independent movements. And it always fascinates me how, you know, when a country in Europe accepted Marshall Plan money,
right,
the Americans will say, well, that, you know, they wanted it. They accepted it. They loved it. You know, it was great. They wanted it.
She came on to me.
By they mean
right.
Some people right. in that country want it. But when people are trying to install communism in those countries, they're falling into the Soviet orbit. It's the threat of communism.
Yeah.
You never hear them talking about the threat of capitalism and falling into the American orbit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if it jumps out at you like it jumps out at me, but it jumps out of me like your balls in my face on a cold Las Vegas winter morning. I'm like, what's going on here?
What's this? Right.
How do these hairs get in my mouth? And why are my lips all blue? You know, it's...
And for him, it's like standard just writing, where it's like, no, it's 2020. You should be more careful with your words. But for him, it's just par for the course for writing at that time. Here we go.
Not sure if you picked up the blue balls gag, but that was a sunny gag.
Sunny gag. Oh no, I didn't.
No, but word on the street is he's out of here begging most Saturdays. He'll be here. Don't worry about it.
God, hunting is awesome, Dennis.
Yeah.
Get to wear sweet clothes and get wasted all day.
Yeah, it's just like our normal lives, except at the end of it, we get to put our nuts in some dude's mouth.
Actually, I wanted to talk to you about that aspect of it.
What's up? You're not happy with the plan?
Well, no, look, dude, we've been teabagging cricket since high school,
you know?
I feel like we need to make some progress. I think we should give him a gorilla mask.
What's a gorilla mask?
We put something sticky all over his face, and then sprinkle it with shaved pubes.
Mm, no, I don't like it.
What? What's not to like? Cricket with a face full of pubes? Hilarious.
Yeah, but where are we supposed to get that many pubes, man?
We shave!
Well, that's gonna be a problem. My laser. It's like a turtle shell down there.
What?
Yeah, look, man, the classics are classics for a reason, okay? Why go mess with that?
Well, it's called progress, Dennis.
Well, I don't want to make progress. We're sticking with the teabagging.
But teabagging doesn't even leave a mark.
Fine, dip my nuts in ink or something and then put it in his mouth. That make you happy?
Well, yeah, actually, I think that's a pretty good idea.
That
because it leaves a mark all over.
Holy shit, I'm glad we just thought
of that. It's an excellent idea. It's like we can dunk him down.
Cheers,
and
man.
Like,
glad, woo! Glad we went through
See,
that.
See, we're free thinking outside the box.
Yeah,
that's
like
good.
That. Yeah.
Cricket, get him.
Oh my God. Oh, we've been teabagging him since high school. Damn. How's this guy not offed himself yet? Anyway. He was a priest. So
anyway. Meanwhile,
yes.
Truman's popularity back home, as we know, we've talked about this before, was plunging. His approval rating in the public opinion polls had fallen 50 points since the end of the war.
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah. I went back and went. I scrolled.
Right.
I traversed. Searched and read the, through newspapers.com.
Right.
I dug up a whole bunch of news stories talking about Truman in the opinion polls from 47, 48 in American newspapers to try and figure out what they were saying about Truman's popularity. And as far as I could work out, the major criticism of him right. was that he was trying, at this stage, trying to be too much like FDR. He had adopted FDR's policies. Right. He was trying to be FDR statesman-y.
Like
and also publicly.
Right.
I think privately it was different. Like he'd been pretty tough on Stalin and the Soviets from the get-go, as we know, at the Potsdam conference. He was like, hey, Stalin, see this? This is my middle finger. This is for you. And we're going to drop a fucking bomb.
Right.
But I think publicly he was still being a little bit more amenable to, well, we all need to get along. And he was being criticized for this. So this is obviously, as we've talked about in the past, where he decided he needed to come out with the tough guy
right.
persona.
Midwestern
you know,
cowboy.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, the Kansas Pendergast, was it Prendergast? The sort of quasi-mob boss who ran Kansas, the political operation there, Pendergast.
Something
I think,
like that, yeah.
That he came up underneath. Right. He decided he needed to look tough, and he started to depict Stalin and the Soviets as if they were evil incarnate.
Right.
And this was helped along by Churchill and his famous Iron Curtain speech. So this is what is starting to go down around this point. He's dropping in the opinion polls and he decides, or his advisors decide, that the way to get back up in the opinion polls mm-hmm. is to start, you know, sounding like Trump, basically. Yeah. He had to come out. You know, he just added a P.
Yeah.
He was Trump. He was Trumpin.
Right.
He added a P to his name, and he just decided to become Mr. Tough Guy.
Right. But see,
and so that's going on around this time. Yeah.
Right. And so you're right. He's playing catch up with the Republicans because Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin, Richard Nixon of California, they're already getting their names out there. They're sounding tough on the communists. Truman's got a, you know, like you said, he's got to raise his game. So here's what he does. Truman and Dean Acheson, they invite to the White House Senator Arthur Vandenberg. Now, this Vandenberg is the uncle of his nephew, Hoyt Vandenberg, who's in charge of the Central Intelligence. This Vandenberg, the older one, the senator, is the chairman of the Committee for Foreign Relations, and he comes to the White House. And so they're sitting down, and Acheson tells him, look, we've just heard this stuff from the British. Greece is under real intense threat. They might go the way of the communists. We've got to do something. The British are backing down because they just can't afford to write those big checks anymore. But here's the bad news, Senator. Congress is going to have to fit the bill. Now, before you say no, before you start freaking out on me, Senator, Dean Acheson goes into what he calls his domino theory. It's like comparing a communist state to a rotten apple that if nothing happens with this, it might infect the entire barrel. So they're trying to freak out the senator, but the senator is playing, you know, he's been around for a long time. He knows what's going on. So he says, look, Mr. President, the only way you are going to get this is to make a speech and scare the hell out of the country. Truman says, I can do that. And that's exactly what he's going to do. This is not about reality. This is, I mean, partly not about reality, but this is about strengthening his own base, trying to get the people back on his side because Congress is now controlled by the Republicans. And if he doesn't watch out in the next election, they'll control the White House as well. So this is all politics are local. He's been given some advice, so now he has to come up with a speech that will scare the hell out of the American people and Congress, and then he's going to ask them for a shit ton of money.
Did anybody call here asking for Vandelay Industries?
No, what happened to you?
All right, listen closely. I was at the unemployment office, and I told them I was very close to getting a job with Vandelay Industries, and I gave them your phone number. So well, now, when the phone rings, you have to answer, Vandelay Industries.
I'm Vandelay Industries?
Right.
What is that?
You're in latex.
Latex. Right. And what do I do with latex?
I don't know. You manufacture it.
Right here in this little apartment?
And what do I say about you?
You're considering hiring me for your latex salesman.
I'm going to hire you as my latex salesman?
Right.
I don't think so. Why would I do that?
Because I asked you to.
If you think I'm looking for someone to just sit at a desk, pushing papers around, you can forget it. Enough headaches just trying to manufacture this stuff.
Mandalay Industries. Kel Varnson speaking. May we help you?
Yellow. What Delay Industries?
No. Mandalay! Say Mandalay!
No, you're way, way, way off. Well, yeah, yeah, that's the right number, but this isn't an apartment.
Yeah,
what?
Mandalay! Say Mandalay!
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
A hot... Come on, his name's Senator Art Vandenberg. You can't tell me that Art Vandelay was not based on Art Vandenberg.
I don't need a reason to listen to those clips. You can play them all you want. We'll just
hit
that and go. Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but his nephew, Hoyt Vandenberg, was about to be fired as the director of Central Intelligence after only 8 months in the job.
That's a long time.
When Senator Art is talking about, you know, scaring the hell out of Americans about the threat of communism. Now, we told this story before 2.5 years ago, Ray, on episodes 91 to 93, but it's worth retelling. As you said, he said, you've got to scare the hell out of the country. Truman gave the speech March 12th, 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Said that the United States would have to fight communism. We will fight them on the beaches, he said. And they went, no, that was
somebody
that
else.
Was just fill in text in the we can't.
The proper text said, we will fight them with your money. I mean, with the taxpayer money. Yeah. Anyway,
we will give taxpayer money to American industries. He said they would have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars just to keep Greece out of self-determining the course of their own country.
I think you mean communist clutches.
Yeah, threatened by the terrorist activities of several thousand armed men.
Oh, my God.
He said, making shit up as he went. Without American aid, disorder might spread throughout the Middle East. Despair would deepen in the nations of Europe, and darkness would descend upon the free world.
Woe is me.
And this is when he concocted the Truman Doctrine, which goes something like this. I believe that it must be the policy of the United States to support free peoples who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures.
Ah. So... anybody.
Or anyone who just decides they want to do something a little bit different in their country that doesn't align with the orders that we have given them.
Right. Yeah. So to paraphrase, if any country that America deems as an enemy attacks any other nation that is friendly to America, then the United States would consider that an attack on America itself. I give you the Doctrine Truman. And what did Congress do?
The Doctrine Truman?
Oh, really? Sorry. I give you the Truman Doctrine.
Backward speaking we are now.
Oh, my God. I think it's that gummy. I think I took it too soon. Anyway.
Ovation standing did Congress rise.
Congress, yes. They give him a standing ovation for saying, we are going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. That's insane.
Now, to be clear here, when he says to support free peoples who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures, again, we're actually talking about domestic political parties that are trying to overthrow change the kind of government they have in their country. Exactly the same as what the Americans did to the British in the American Revolution.
Yeah.
What the South did, the North did, actually. They stopped the South from trying to break away during the American Civil War. Basically, it's not – what he's saying isn't if somebody gets attacked, we're going to defend them.
Right.
We are going to be on the front foot stopping people – from exercising their rights to determine the kind of government that they have in their own country.
That sounds
that's
right.
That's the actual translation of what he is saying in militaristic code.
Yes.
But political code. But because if you look at it, some of these examples we'll go through, and we'll start with Greece and Italy. They weren't being attacked. They weren't attacked.
No.
It was just America coming in and going, what do you want to do what with your country? No.
Don't no. Think so.
No. Yeah. Did you? I don't remember. Dad, Barry, Stan, did you guys give these guys permission to think for themselves? Huh. No. Did you give them a, did you give them a, you can think for yourself certificate? I know we printed one of those out for someone. Mostly I don't remember who it was.
It was a gag.
It was ourselves.
Yeah, it was for ourselves, right?
Yeah. So ourselves, that's the only one of those we've ever printed, right? We never went past number one.
No.
Certificate number one. Yeah. Did we give anyone else a permission to think for yourself certificate?
No.
We didn't?
No.
All right. Thanks. Get back to the copy room.
Who was Stan and Barry's younger associate? Was that Teddy? Teddy, did you accidentally print out two copies? Fucking Teddy. No. So it turns out America is the only one who
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mr. Truman.
Away with the button.
I may have done that. Yeah. It was an experiment and... I heard you talk about the Atlantic Charter, and I just thought
I got carried away.
People now had the right to think. Well, listen, yeah, when we say self-determination of all peoples, Teddy, what we mean is self-determination of all peoples in, you know, in brackets at right. the end to do what the fuck we tell them to do.
Right.
You know, and if they choose not to do what we tell them to do, then they lose the right of self-determination. Right. It's obvious. It's in it's subparagraph B, section 51.50. Van Halen joke there, 5150 I threw in. Anyway, it went over your head. Keep, because it's California police code for as a crazy person on the loose.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because they must be crazy if they think they can think for themselves. Yes. Come on.
No, that shan't be tolerated. I remember over a decade ago when I was listening to your Napoleon podcast, and with the rise of Napoleon, some of these other kings might be going, whoa, 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 you can't just go and get rid of a king like that. No, that's bad form. So you've got the idea of kinghood being questioned back then. You've had World War I, you have World War II, it's now 1947, and they are still fighting, America and Britain are still fighting to keep the idea of a king on the throne. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And like you said, the people have had enough of it. They want more of a say in their government. They're actually willing to fight and die for it, and America's going to come in and go, no, you can't do that.
Do you want to know something?
What?
Today is the 2nd of December, 2020, and I'm recording this.
Right.
Do you want to know what's special about this date?
Tell me, please. I'm agog.
This is the 7-year anniversary of our very first podcast recording.
Really? Did you say 7?
Yeah.
Wow.
7. Tingle. 2013, tingles. Baby.
I have tingles.
Tingles in your jingles.
Wow.
Wow.
7 years and we're still talking to each other. Huh.
Yeah.
We both either have really high or really low tolerance for stuff. I don't know which one. I don't know.
Something like that. So, wow. Yeah. Look at that, man. Seven years we've been doing this. That's longer than two of my three marriages. Have lasted.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty easy to get along with, so you're welcome.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what D'Angelo keeps telling me. Like, man, he's so easy to get along with.
He's good people. Ray's good people.
He'll take anything. Yeah. He just lets me do whatever I want, never complains.
Breaks me a sandwich.
Mops
my brow when I'm sweating too much. Good people.
Gets me some electrolytes when I need them.
I can't quite finish. He helps. Anyway.
Keep my energy up.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy. He cheers me out sometimes. That's when it gets awkward. Right.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, and to you.
Buddy.
Thank you.
I look, in all seriousness, last week when we didn't record because you were giving thanks for Trump, I missed it. It didn't feel like the Friday we're not recording.
Oh, yeah. No, when weeks that we don't record, I can't remember the day of the week that I'm in because I base everything on when we record. So I spent all of last week going, what is today? So, no, I'm right there with you. Life makes no sense unless you're in it. I'm not going to cry. I am not going to fucking cry. I'm not.
Anyway. Wow. And they said, well, they didn't say anything because they didn't give a shit. Yeah. Man, we're still here after 7 years.
Yeah.
Global domination, mm-hmm. fated everywhere we go.
So
farted on everywhere we go. But
fated,
anyway,
farted. Yeah. It's so close. It's so close to being spelled the same way. So he gives this speech. Congress gives him pretty much a blank check. And as you can imagine, millions of dollars of my grandfather's generation's money head to Greece. But, you know, that's not all. There's also warships and ammunition and napalm and soldiers and guns and, of course, spies. Because wherever money goes, the spies are going to go. So, in fact, there are more Americans in Athens than there are Greeks. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. We get over there, we dominate, but yet, here's the CIA. It's not quite the CIA yet. It's this, you know, idea. They don't have a strong leader yet. You can have all the dedication. You can have all these spies. You can have this idea of what you want to do. You want to check communism. But overall, if you don't have a strong leader, what does that say about your organization? So they're still trying to figure themselves out. But at the very least, Truman's got what he's want. They're going into Greece and they're going to check this fucking red communist and not let them take over Greece, even though the people they're fighting are actually Greeks.
So General Vandelay Industries, Hoyt, was due to take over the newly created Air Force, right, because this is when Truman also created an independent Air Force.
Right.
But he delivered a secret testimony before he left the CIA to that. a very small congressional right. committee, saying that the nation faced foreign threats as never before. Mm. The oceans have shrunk. Until today, both Europe and Asia border the United States almost as do Canada and Mexico. As it turns out, is the same phrase that George W. Bush repeated after 9/11. And Vandenberg said, we had to rely, in World War II, we had to rely blindly and trustingly on the superior intelligence system of the British, but the United States should never have to go hat in hand begging any foreign government for the eyes, the foreign intelligence with which to say.
Yes.
And he finished by saying it would take at least 5 more years to build a professional American spy operation.
Huh.
And here's the funny thing.
Right.
50 years later, 1997, CIA Director George Tenet said exactly the same thing. And then in 2004, as he resigned from the CIA, he said exactly the same thing. Yeah, I reckon it's about 5 years away.
It's just
great. American spy service is always about 5 years over the horizon, just like Iran developing nuclear weapons, if you believe Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
Or cold fusion or a cure for cancer. Everything's always just 5 years away. Right. It's long enough that you don't actually have to put your cock on the block for it, but it's short enough that people think, well, 5 years, that's not that long. I mean, we can get through 5 years. If they said, listen, you're going to be in lockdown for 5 years before we can get a vaccine for the Rona, you'd be like, oh, 5 years? Well, that's not too bad. I could do that.
It's a set time. Yeah, yes. There's an end in sight. Okay, so, but my thing is, if you keep saying 5 years, basically what you're saying is, yeah, like you said, it's just far enough away where you think it can happen, but you're going to forget it. And for those 5 years, I'm going to keep asking for money and we're going to keep doing crazy shit that we don't check in with Congress. We don't check in with anybody. We just kind of run wild. We're all a bunch of cowboys here. So again, they just perpetuate themselves, but it sounds good. Just give us 5 more years. We can have this up and running and then we can save the world.
I just thought of another thing that was 5 years away.
My getting to know my wife in a biblical sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, listen, 5 years. You can tap this in 5 years.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah. But I got out a calendar. I made her circle the date and sign it. And I held her to that. So who's the man now? So you're welcome.
Pushing through the market square, so many mothers sighing, sighing, sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left to cry in. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric guns, and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse. It had no room to spare. I had to grab so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people, and all the tall, short people, and all the nobody people. Like, he's just talking about you.
That's
here.
That's me.
The fat, skinny people, yeah. The tall, short people, the nobody
that's
people.
Me. Yeah.
And all the somebody people. Never thought I'd need so many people.
Oh, that's deep.
All right, skip the next verse and we'll just go. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor. And I thought of more and I wanted to get back there. Your face, your race, the way that you talk. I kiss you, you're beautiful. I want you to walk. We've got 5 years stuck on my eyes.
What do I do with my penis? Oh, it was awesome. Anyway.
Never played that before.
So, great good, song. I love good that song. Good job. So, as you said a moment ago, Hoyt Vandenberg's tenure at the Central Intelligence would only be 8 months, and he's finally gone to take on his new job, as you said. The new man, the Superman, who is going to be taking over, who is the third person in charge, is Rear Admiral Roscoe Hillencotter, sworn in on May 1st, 1947. What can you tell me about Hilly as he was known to his friends?
Well, I can tell you that to congratulate him,
right,
on the new gig, the new appointment,
sure,
shall we say?
Sure.
You know, they came up with a little song.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the song?
It's one of those days. It's one of those days.
That's it.
Welcome back. Your dreams, you're your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you came around. Those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead you? Who'd have thought they'd lead you back here where we need you? Well, we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, Hill and Carter. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We always could spot a friend. There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
That was.
It's one of those days.
Yeah.
I just. Yeah. I'm so tired. Yes. And, you know.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, in your head, all this makes sense. I get that. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah, in my head. Yeah.
It's seamless.
Let's go, Hill and Carter. Welcome back, Hill and Carter.
It's. It's seamless. So he...
I know that he was an executive officer on the USS West Virginia, your hometown.
Well, close.
Codenamed BB-48, not to be confused with the Star Wars drone.
Different one.
He was wounded during the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Aww.
And after was in charge of intelligence.
Right.
On Nimitz's Pacific Fleet staff not until bad. 1943.
Not bad.
I also know
yeah.
that Welcome Back was a complete dud.
Yeah.
As one author wrote,
yes.
I love this. This is, I hope you, I'm going to put this on your tombstone when you die. As one author wrote about Welcome Back, Cotter, he exuded insignificance. It's basically... Going to just put that on your tombstone.
Yeah, no, I get just that.
Raymond Harris Jr.
Insignificant.
1967?
Six.
Yeah. 1966 to 2020.
God, I'm depressed.
He exuded insignificance.
Right. Yeah.
Did I tell you what Chrissy's putting on my gravestone?
What's that?
Lui parla. Un po' l'italiano.
Translation?
He spoke a little bit of Italian.
That's not bad. It's not great, but it's better than exuded insignificance.
It's better than he exuded insignificance.
Yeah, no, you'll definitely win that one. You win that contest.
Not by much, but it's something. Yeah, I'll take it.
Now, the great irony is that, one, he did have general background experience, but he wasn't that great. He certainly didn't command a room when he walked into it. But ironically, not only is he the third director of Central Intelligence, but as things are going to work out, he is going to be the first director of the CIA. But again, he's not going to be there long because he's only going to be in the office for 15 months. Again, the people of the CIA are still looking for that strong man, that leader. They quite haven't found him yet.
That's how I feel.
Oh, I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Yeah, but you exude insignificance, so...
Well, that's only for the waist up.
It's hard to get hard, you know, with that.
But you're not married to me. Right, go ahead.
According to the official CIA history of his era...
Yes.
He should probably never have been director of the CIA. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, we fucked up.
When the organization Mayor that you Culpa. Run later says, that was a big mistake. Yeah. Shouldn't have done that. The only mistake I think the CIA has ever admitted to was
hiring this guy.
Letting him run the place for a little while.
Yeah.
But then these secret congressional committee hearings that I mentioned early on, where they were sort of talking about the creation of the CIA.
Yes.
It wasn't Hill and Cotter
no.
that was briefing the few members of Congress that were invited to that thing, but Alan Dulles.
Yes.
A lawyer in private practice at the time, wasn't even working for the government at that stage. As we know, he'd got out after the war and went back into private practice with his brother, John Foster Dulles. Remember those names?
Yes.
Their grandfather... And their uncle had both served as U.S. Secretary of State separate times.
Yeah, they are American political royalty. Absolutely.
Yes. And
they're probably expecting to get that job. It's just a matter of when.
Which one is Dulles Airport named after?
John Foster.
Yeah, JFD.
JFD. Yeah. Speaking of D, as we get to John Foster Dulles, he was very... D-minded, D-centric, D-focused, loved his penis, loved to satisfy his penis, and we'll get to that later.
Well, yeah, or we'll get to it now.
Or we'll get to it now.
Wait a minute. But the president of his college, Princeton, was Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
He had been a junior diplomat after World War I and then a Wall Street lawyer during the Depression.
Not bad.
And... During, sort of in between the wars, he was in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the OSS chief there later on, but he was in Switzerland earlier on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in the 20s and the 30s, he'd been a legal advisor to the delegation on arms limitations to the League of Nations. And during that time, when he was in that role, he had the opportunity to meet, hang out with, and do reach arounds with Hitler, right. Mussolini, Litvinov, and various leaders of Britain and France. So he was pretty well connected.
Yes.
He had been the OSS chief later on in Switzerland, loved a pipe. He's described in one of the books as being genial in the extreme,
aww,
with twinkling eyes, a belly laugh, and an almost impish deep... No, sorry, that was Santa Claus.
Yeah, close.
No, actually, close. Both. Alan Dulles and Santa Claus. In fact, a lot of people would say, have you ever seen them in the same room at the same time?
No.
You haven't, have you?
That's true. Oh my God! You just.
But he was also a chronic adulterer. His sister.
Oh God! I don't like where this is going. Uh huh.
Oh yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
I do. I really do.
No, his sister said that he had at least 100 extramarital affairs.
Yes.
Many. During his time with the CIA. Now, you know, Ray.
Yeah.
Nobody knows more about being a secret agent than me.
Right.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure I recall when I went through
basic
secret agent training, one of the first things they told us was don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Because it's a security risk.
Right.
And I said, it's a character flaw to be putting your country at risk by fucking around.
Yes.
I remember asking during my basic secret agent training, well, what size of a character flaw is it? And they said, well, you know, right down the bottom of your character flaws,
yes,
you've got Pope Francis. right at the top, you've got Bill Clinton. They said, this is Bill Clinton level.
Yes.
Character flaws. Like, seriously, we call it Mega Clinton. Right. You know, if you have sex with anyone when you're a CIA agent.
Right.
Unless you're the one that's trying to corrupt them. If the person that you're banging is also a secret agent or a diplomat,
right,
and you can put it down, like that's what Bond would do. It's like part of intelligence gathering.
Interrogation with my penis. Sorry.
Don't make me stick it in you again. Tell me everything.
Who was number
two? Who gave the order?
Who was number two working for? Yeah.
But he claimed later on in life to have been telephoned by Vladimir Lenin.
Sure.
When he was in Switzerland, the day before Lenin left Switzerland to travel back to St. Petersburg aboard a German train on April 8th, 1917,
right,
Lenin called him to see if he could get a meeting with the American embassy, mm-hmm, supposedly, and I assume, like all good communists, to get America's support for his self-determination.
Because that's what we're known for. Yes. Now,
yes, yeah.
I just have to throw this out real quick. When it comes to Alan Dulles, picture someone who's completely in love with himself, who is completely confident, obviously born into wealth and privilege. He's probably never heard the word no, banged a bunch of women, mostly like ones he would be working for, working with. When he was in Bern, Switzerland, for many years, he would literally tell people, because this is what you're supposed to do as a spy, he would tell everybody not only was he a spy, but he was a master spy. He was one of the world's best spies. Everybody was always telling him what a great spy he is. He didn't really actually do a lot. He fucked up a lot of things. He's known for one major success in March of 1945 by getting a bunch of Germans in northern Italy to surrender right before the war ends. But basically, this guy is like someone who you wouldn't put him in charge of the money fund. You wouldn't leave him alone with your 18-year-old daughter. But if you needed someone to go in and just cause a whole bunch of ruckus and maybe entertain some out-of-town guests, this is your guy. So he's a whirlwind, but what he is not as focused, dedicated, and takes things seriously. He loves himself and he loves to have a good time. And this is the guy that's supposedly a spy master that a lot of the Republicans in Washington are going, oh yeah, no, he's the guy. We got to get him involved because he is the best that America has to offer. It was mostly fluff, but he sold himself well.
Again, reminds me of you. Mostly fluff, but sold himself well.
No, damn it, fluffer. Remember
our
fluffer.
First call, you were like, I'm a fluffer. You were like, oh man, if you do a podcast with me, oh, I'm
you're going places,
so
baby.
Hard.
Going to the store.
I'm, I don't think I'm I said just that. Gonna, you know,
24/7. Gonna wear out.
And
those
then
books.
as soon as I gave you the job, you were all like,
yeah, I kick back.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Fuck! I'm not even supposed to be here today. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Oh, fuck!
Oh, I will.
Working on my day off. The goddamn steel shutters are closed. I deal with every backward-ass fuck on the planet. I smell like shoe polish. My ex-girlfriend is catatonic after fucking a dead guy. And my present girlfriend has sucked 36 dicks.
37.
Pretty much the first page of my biography when I wrote it. Yeah. Anyway, so
Dulles in this secret committee meeting with the CIA for the Congress about the CIA, he told them that the CIA would be directed by a relatively small but elite core of men.
Yes,
with a passion.
Right.
For pussy. Anonymity. No. A passion for anonymity.
Yes.
Passion for strange snatch.
That's not Dulles.
Americans had the raw material for building the greatest intelligence service in the world, he said.
Aww.
The personnel need not be very numerous. A few hundred good men would do the trick. The operation of the service must neither be flamboyant nor overshrouded in the mystery and abracadabra which the amateur detective likes to assume.
Right.
All that is required for success is hard work, discriminating judgment, and common sense. They said, you know, fucking 100 women when you're a CIA operative agent, director.
Flamboyant much?
Good common sense?
Yeah.
Does judgment, common sense, really? He goes, oh, well, it's more on the hard work side of the scales there, I think. Not all of those things at the one time. Sometimes it's time for discriminating judgment.
Right.
Other times it's for getting a bit of strange snatch. I mean, you know, you got to give a little bit.
Right. To get a little bit. Give a little bit. Give a little bit.
I was just going there, too.
So, but basically, he's basically saying you need a rational, mature, dedicated person who does not want to be noticed, who doesn't seek fame. That's the exact opposite of what Dulles is. But again, the Republicans think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Give a little bit. Give a little bit of your pussy to me.
Twice a day.
Give a little bit. Give a little bit of my cock to you.
How about two?
There's so much that we need to share.
Like BD.
Send a smile and show you care.
Yes. Got him some Swedish strange. Yes. God.
What he never really said
right.
was that what he really wanted was to bring back the good old wartime covert operations part of the OSS.
And he does.
Now, Truman...
Yeah.
And he does. Yes. Now, Truman sort of launched the new American Cold War architecture.
Woo!
When he signed the National Security Act of 1947.
Mm-hmm.
This is what created the Air Force as a separate service led by General Vandalay Industries. And the new National Security Council, which was basically to be the White House switchboard
right.
for presidential decisions. It also created the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and the first Secretary of Defense was Ray...
The first Secretary of Defense was James Forrestal. His job was to unite the American military. And as you can imagine, I mean, this thing is a behemoth. Even after all the paring down after World War II, he's like, there's no fucking way these generals who are hardcore motherfuckers are going to listen to me, but I'll take the job anyway because it's got a nice title.
This office, he said, will probably be the greatest cemetery for dead cats in history. I've got a feeling I should have a song for dead cats, but I...
What was that?
I know, there's an Alice Cooper song called Dead Babies.
No,
but I don't
it's
know about
not.
Dead cats.
Smelly cat from Friends. But I don't,
yeah,
I don't know the words.
No, I'm not going there.
Okay.
No.
All right. All right.
And in that National Security Act, in six short paragraphs,
right,
the CIA was born.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing is, when you read through these paragraphs, they're fairly loosey-goosey, right, just like Stalin would have liked it at Yalta.
Oh,
we'll,
yeah,
get to that in a second, but the CIA was born like one of those thalidomide children in the 60s, born with major birth defects, no arms and legs,
right,
really.
But potential.
Couldn't walk.
A heart of gold.
No. A heart of pure evil.
Right, right.
Its powers weren't really very well defined. There was no formal charter,
right,
or congressionally approved funds. It was just, oh yeah, we're gonna have an intelligence agency, off you go.
But
that was basically,
right, it. But here's the thing though, like you just said, there's no formal charter, it's vague, it's very short and sweet, and it doesn't really list what they can't do. If you get the right person in charge of that, where their boundaries, their limits are vague, a big personality can take that and run with it. So for right now, they've got Hillenkoetter, they've got Hilly. He's not the kind of guy who's going to push things, but you've got to imagine, I mean, why wouldn't they think of this? But everything is vague. Once they get a powerful personality in there, this person is going to run wild, because why? There's no one to check with. There's no one to answer to. And you really can't even tell him what his responsibilities are or are not. I mean, this could get out of hand, and obviously it does very soon.
And some people saw this coming straight up. Dean Acheson,
yeah,
who would go on to be the Secretary of State, said, "I had the gravest forebodings about this organization and warned the president that as set up, neither he, the National Security Council, nor anyone else would be in a position to know what it was doing or how to control it."
Damn.
Not really a surprise when it ended up doing stuff that nobody really knew about and they were unable to control it, when, you know, Dean Acheson saw that from the get-go,
yeah,
and tried to warn people about it, but no one listened.
And let me come at it from a different point of view, and this is how serious I am. I'm going to do my Obama voice. Let me be clear. The National Security Act said fuck all about secret operations overseas. It didn't say anything about it, so clearly no one's concerned about it, because they're not going to be doing that, right? Because we didn't say they could do that. The CIA, I think you said this on the last episode, is supposed to do nothing more than correlate, evaluate, and disseminate intelligence that it gathers from the State Department, the Pentagon, and other sources. You get all the information together, you clear it out, you make sure everybody knows what's going on, we're all on the same page, and that is how you effectively run your foreign policy. That's exactly what's not going to happen. They're just going to run wild.
Yeah, the National Security Act said nothing about secret overseas operations. It merely instructed the CIA to correlate, evaluate, and disseminate intelligence.
Paperwork.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
11 magic little words tucked in there. And it was instructed to perform other functions and duties related to intelligence affecting the national security. Now, what does that mean? Who the fuck knows? It can mean whatever you want it to mean. That's,
right,
and I'm being deadly serious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's how you set these things up.
To go.
Yeah, well, we're going to want you to correlate, evaluate, and disseminate intelligence and anything else.
Right. Other
and anything other else
functions.
You see fit.
You know,
yeah,
stuff related to national security. Stuff.
I put that in my wedding contract with Chrissy. Oh. I'll expect you to, enjoy yourself, have a great time,
right?
Enjoy the celebrity, be happy,
right?
You know, yeah. Feel loved, be loved.
Oh.
And I might expect you to do some other things.
Other
thank you very
functions.
Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah,
just sign.
And yeah, you'll
just
be
sign
expected
here
to perform other functions.
Right.
Sign.
Yeah. We're talking backdoor action, but the point
she
is,
she was like, "What is it? What is that?" She was like, "What are these other functions?" I was like,
it.
"Oh, we'll work it out later.
Details.
Yeah, we'll work it out later.
Details.
Yeah, yeah, it's another. It's not really the time to go into the nitty gritty of that. Oh, it's a whole big, you know, we'd get nitty lawyers involved.
Let's have fun right now. So
we'll let the lawyers work it out later. Don't worry about
exactly.
it.
And they work for me. So people like General Magruder 2 years ago, who worked for the OSS, they thought they lost everything as far as covert operations. It's back on, baby. It's all back on the page. Because again, the page doesn't say very much. So they're going to get ready to run wild. Now, you said this on the last episode, but I want to make sure I understood you. So your contention, I think, is this was vaguely worded because they wanted to be able to have plausible deniability, or would you say that it was vaguely worded and certain people got into the CIA early on and just ran wild kind of on their own? Or a little bit of both, maybe.
Can't get past a good MacGruber reference.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, now, like Stalin at Yalta with loosey-goosey wording you could drive a semi-trailer through, hundreds of major covert operations, 81 of them during Truman's second term alone, would be driven through this other functions and duties loophole.
Right.
81 in 4 years. That's now, 20 a year. That's 1.5 a month they were doing. Like, how the fuck do you even come up with 81 secret covert operations in 4 years, let alone execute them? They just, I think they had like a random, they were like a random word machine.
Right.
They would just like get it to spit out words, you know, like banana truck monster. Egypt. And they go, that's a great one. Yeah, a banana truck monster. Let's make a huge monster banana and put some wheels on it turn it into a bomb.
Push the button again. Yeah. Now, let's. And I hate to do this to you, but let's take a look at the law for a second. Now, normally, in order to conduct covert operations, you have to have the direct or implied authority of the National Security Council, which, who was that at the time? That was Truman, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, and the military chiefs. But from what you're telling me is, like, I think we're going to give that a miss. And kind of, I seriously doubt if all of 81 missions were discussed with the National Security Council before they got the green light. It sounds like it was a bunch of cowboys just going at it.
Speaking of cowboys just going at it.
Cowboy porn! No.
Did you say something about breaking the law? Was completely wasting, out of work and down. All inside, it's so frustrating. I drift from town to town. Feelings though nobody cares if I live or die. So I might as well begin to put some action in my life.
Nice.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
Whoa!
Cowboy sex! No, this is the next one. Sorry.
Oh. We do know that Rob Halford, lead singer of Judas Priest, likes a little bit of cowboy sex.
I think you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I think you might be on the same.
All those leather and chains is a hint. We didn't pick it up at the time in the 70s, but now, later on we went,
that's what
I'm looking, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing the village people. Right. I get it now. Yeah.
Leather and nipples.
He's like, could I have been more obvious? Really?
I had chains strapped to my nipples. Come on.
Me and George Michael, I mean, we were trying to tell you something. I mean, you just weren't listening.
Yes. And now we know.
Oh, that's it. I mean, that's enough for this episode.
End on nipples. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
We're going to end on chained up nipples. We'll be back next week with more on the early covert operations of the CIA.
An iron curtain has descended across the continent.